from PRX.
Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for the podcaster who's wearing a watch, but I don't need, you know what time it is. It's time for me to go off topic, get mixed up. It's time for me to keep you company, because that's kind of what I do. Also, I was trying to think of more witty things to say about not having a watch. You're here just in time for me to go off topic and get mixed up. And if you say, I don't know what you're talking about, I thought this was a sleep podcast meant to keep you company so you're not alone in the deep, dark night, to take your mind off stuff so you could fall asleep. You're the most important part of the show. But this podcast is very different. Not for everybody. Give it a few tries. See how it goes. The structure show is I'm going to do some support for the podcast. Then there'll be an intro to help you ease you into bedtime. And there'll be an episodically modular bedtime story you could listen to in any order. And it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And these sponsors are what enable us to be here for you free twice a week. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleeping With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would Sleep With Me be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, I want to thank Claritin, tonight's sponsor, for supporting this episode and provide me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it is time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone. The one part of the podcast I need you here is where I pop my peas. If you please, and I say pretty please, if you support a sponsor, our sponsors are direct response, meaning their support of the podcast is based on how many listeners purchase their products. It's not like that mass brand advertising. And that's how we keep the show coming out twice a week for free, is just those a few people that support the sponsors. So if you support a sponsor, I want to thank you here in the Sleepy Supporter Zone. And I do need your support, especially the free trials, checking the sponsors out. We are making some changes to the advertising and the sponsorship to make sure the show stays free for everybody. But again, please check out our sponsors, sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. And when you support a sponsor, let them know about it. Let me know about it so we could celebrate you here on the Sleepy Supporter Zone. The next part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is you getting the support you need right now. If you're in need of extra support, there's links to resources you could connect with right now in the show notes, including international resources. It's also about being a member of our communities, being a part of positive change, not just saying Black Lives Matter, not just saying stop AAPI hate, not just saying support Ukraine, but learning more, taking action. There's links to resources you could use in the show notes to do that. And it's about being a part of positive change, like I said, and join our community efforts, building hygiene kits for people experiencing homelessness. You can do that for free. You could be a part of. There's going to be a live show coming up, streamed on Zoom. You could come for free. Just take part. sleepwithmepodcast.com/midnightmission. Just sign up at sleepwithmepodcast.com/midnightmission. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/midnightmission. And that's the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Oh, Mr. Bard, a lot of people help out in the show. Who are they?
Posty poster song. Sounds like a near fall. Wrote the theme song. Edits episodes too. Carl W. the legend. Also edits episodes. Ashley, Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer. Runner, 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 runner. I am the mystery bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance. Rusty Biscuit, Lois, Anna like banana. Leah does the transcripts.
Thanks, Mr. Bard. Don't forget, if you get your sleep phones, sleepwithmepodcast.com/sleep phones, let me know about it too. And that, what do you say we slow down and get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever is keeping you awake, whether it's things on your mind that you're thinking about. So thoughts, you know, things you're thinking about, that about the past, the present, the future, all those thoughts can come up in my head at bedtime. So it could be thoughts, it could be feelings, anything you're feeling physically that's keeping you awake. It could be feelings, emotions related to the thoughts or physical sensations or something else. You know, you could be anticipating something, you could be traveling, you could have guests. It could be those changes in the weather or it could be something else. Whatever it is that's keeping you awake, I'm here to take your mind off of that and keep you company so that you could fall asleep. And, you know, sometimes we just don't know what it is. I'm going through that right now. Not even during, you know, you say, I got a case of the blahs is an underselling of it, but a case of the blahs, you know? And so whatever it is that's keeping you awake, I'm here to take your mind off it, as I said, and keep you company so that you could fall asleep. The way I do it on the podcast is I send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, and superfluous tangents. So that means my voice is not traditionally soothing, but it's more not bad. You say, well, his voice is okay. It's not great, but it, you know, I don't really, it's the kind of voice I don't want to pay, like, I don't mind, but I don't need to pay attention to. So that's a creaky dulcet tones. Pointless meanders and superfluous tangents mean that I'll go off topic. I'll get mixed up in the middle of talking about one thing. Then I'll remember something else. Then I'll try to remember what I was talking about. Then I won't remember. Then I'll get distracted. Then I'll go on a tangent. And then hopefully I could get back to, you know, the original point, if there was one. At that point, it'll be more like the original nub, which I have on the back of my head. That comes up every once in a while. And then I get to misuse the word vestigial. I have a it's not a vestigial nub. I guess the nub ideally would be remnant of something vestigial that's no longer there. But I don't know if that's the right word even. It's a word I use incorrectly many times, and that would be a superfluous tangent. You might say, Scoots, I'm new to the show. Tell me more about this. Before you get to the podcast and everything, what do you mean a nub? That's a great question. It's very small, not noticeable because my hair covers it. Even when I don't have hair, sometimes there'll be a bald spot there when I would go to a barber because they wouldn't even notice the nub till they were buzzing it. And then because the nub it's a raised area made of B-O-N-E. Underneath, you know, you can only feel it. To me, you'd say, what do you, like, I've talked about this, but it's been a while. I always imagined as a kid that it was like once I figured out what a ball, it took me a long time to understand what a ballpoint pen was. I don't know why. And I don't know why I'm someone who thinks about, I mean, I guess that's why I make a sleep podcast. So you spent a lot of your childhood thinking about ballpoint pens? No. The ballpoint that became a selling point at some point during my youth. I don't like to throw these words out there, but one of the greatest, I guess the only word I can say is SCAM ever pulled in the late 80s and early 90s was the erasable ink. And any left-hander that was school age or professional during that era will tell you that, for some reason that one does not get the press it deserves. Maybe now they have erasable ink, but here's the thing they should have called it. Ink that doesn't really dry, so it makes a giant mess if you're left-handed or messy, or anybody's going to touch it. By the way, you could erase it, but it's mostly because it's not dry, maybe. I don't know, or it's just not like it's ink-like. But there's a tangent within a tangent. So at some point, I started to imagine this nub in the back of my head. Oh, where is it? Good question. If you're right in the middle of the back of my head, but towards the bottom, like the top of my neck, which is the middle, you know? Yeah. Right around, like if you were looking at the back of my head and you had like you're doing some sort of measurements. Or for now, you know, amateur. If you're an amateur phrenologist, you'd say it's pretty close, closely aligned with your ear, ear holes or whatever. But I mean, I would say it's probably somewhere where my amygdala meets my cranium. But I'm not, you know, but that's probably incorrect. It's probably why my lizard brain stays extra active. And my mammalian brain. They're in constant flux because my nub, you'd think it would offer extra protection, but it's a whatever it vestigially had maybe did. And then my those parts of my brain are the old brain stem. Oh, what was they saying? I don't know. I had another topic in there. Oh, so I used to fantasize that it was a ball. And I'm not kidding. Not when I was a little kid either. When I was of pen using age, which probably is high school, I guess, and middle school. I don't even know if in middle school you're allowed to use pen. And that's when they tried to push these, like, they said, why is your paper such a mess? They say, why don't you call one of these, why don't you call Big Ink and, what you call Big Pen? There's only two companies that make these things, and clearly they're up to some. My papers, it's not my fault my paper's a mess. I was hoping they have the option to erase all my mistakes. Clearly, that's bad. Clearly, as always, that backfires on me. Okay. Oh, so I used to just imagine, I guess that was, this may be one of the more boring tangents I've ever gone on. I just took 6 or 7 minutes to explain a story that said, and then I imagined a nub within my head was a ball, like in a ballpoint pen, even though it's not like a ball bearing. And I would rub the back of my head against something hard, like a wall or a really high back, any smooth object, always upright. I never did it lying down. Probably too much gravity. And I would imagine that it was a ballpoint pen. I wouldn't imagine I was writing or drawing. Great question you just thought of there. This is how you become a sleep podcaster, clearly. Yeah, I didn't imagine. These are good questions, reasonable questions you're thinking of. Did I imagine I was drawing something or writing something? No. I just imagined that there was just imagining of the, it's like almost like if I was writing fan fiction about the ball in a ballpoint pen. The ballpoint pen ball. I guess that'll be tonight's episode. Let me write that down. There's a delicious piece of irony. You know, I did that with a ballpoint pen, of course. First, it took me a while to find it. Big, made by, free pen, but made by one of the big pen companies. I don't even know if both of them are still around. There's been more. I think when I was a kid, there was only two. Now there's more. At least there's more brands. There might only be one or two companies that own the brands. Okay, so where was I? I was trying to introduce a sleep podcast that has pointless, meanders, and superfluous tangents. Well, and I have no idea, like, really why I brought any of that up. But other than as an example of stuff that'll take your mind off of stuff and keep you company, and the reason I make the show, that's kind of the most important thing I'll tell you. I make the show because I've been there. Oh, boy. Trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep right now, and tossing and turning and mind racing. But whatever it is that's keeping you awake, I'm here to take your mind off of that because you deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve a place you could get some rest and not have to worry about it. So I'm here to help if I can with that. Because the reality is not only do you deserve a good night's sleep, but if you get the rest you need and you deserve, like a bedtime you don't dread, your life's going to be better. Your life's going to be more manageable. That means the world we live, it's important. It's important to me, and it's important to the people around you, and it's important to everybody listening to the show because they can relate. So I'm glad you're here. Now, the thing is, this podcast is very different. You already heard. I mean, you already are like, holy cow, this guy, he's really publicly sharing. And I say, no, this isn't the third or fourth time I've talked about my nub. I think we came up with a couple of songs, Emmett Otter and the Jug Band. They came up with songs about it. Talked about how it's good for, if I had a cap, with the plastic, the caps with the plastic thing, you can hook under my nub or whatever. Other than that, it's good for like, the middle stages of a relationship for the other person to laugh at me. You know, it brings levity in that situation. Doesn't bother me. I'm not self-conscious about my nub. Except when it gets buzzed, but I don't get a buzz cut anymore or that kind of barber cut. But that's more because I have to answer the question. They say, you got a little, oh, I say, that's my nub. That's the old nub. That's the nub buzz. What if I rub your nub, I'll get a buzz? No, I don't think so. So this podcast is very different. Give it a few tries. That's what a million people probably have said. It takes two or three tries to get used to the show because it is something you don't really listen to. You just kind of barely listen. I'm more here to keep you company than to put you to sleep. I'm here to be your boyfriend, your boar bae, your boar sib, your boar cuz, your boar bestie, your neighbor, your boar burr, your friend in the deep dark night, to keep you company. So that you can fall asleep. Whether you're awake or asleep, I'm here. So some people, they can't sleep. They listen to the show because they're not going to sleep. And I'm here to keep you company if you can't sleep. But I'm here to keep you company just as much if you're not listening to me at all or you got me on a mumble, whatever it is. I'm here to take your mind off of stuff and be a presence, even if it's just a mumbling, rambling presence across a room or in another room. My job is to be here for you. And ideally, that gives you enough distraction or comfort so that you can fall asleep, or that it takes away some of that feeling in the deep, dark night. Like I said, when you got a case of something stronger than the blahs, as I have going on a little bit. But by the time you hear this, I have plenty of resources to deal with my blahs. And I record these episodes months and months before they come out. So thank you for thinking about me. And that being one of the things is that being a service and being a help helps me. So this is a podcast you don't really listen to. It doesn't really put you to sleep. It more keeps you company. It's very different. Not everybody likes it. Some people loathe it. If you already loathe it, sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou has plenty of other options there for you to check out other sleep podcasts and other sleepy stuff, because whether you like me or the show or not, it doesn't change the fact you deserve a good night's sleep. So those options are out there. And what else do you need to know? What else can I help you with? I don't know. Not going to put you to sleep. I'm here to take your mind off stuff. Oh, structure the show. That's the last thing I got to tell you about. Show starts off, it's structured in a very specific way. Starts off with a greeting, friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, so you feel seen and welcome. And you say, okay, maybe I could check the show out. And maybe I say something silly or lighthearted. You say, okay, this might be my style. Then there's support for the show. So the podcast is free twice a week for whoever wants to listen, with over 500 episodes in the archives. What makes that possible are the people that directly support the show or support the sponsors. And that's how we're able to put in all the work it takes to be here for you for free twice a week. Then there's support for listeners who are having a tough time and support for communities around the show. Then there's an intro. And the intro, some people associate with the sponsors and the support, but it's a show within a show to give you time to wind down, to give you some transition from wake to sleep. So you can use the intro in different ways. You could use it while you're getting ready for bed, while you're in bed, or while you're doing some other chill activity, or while you're drifting off. But the intro is designed to ease you into bedtime. And it's different every time, so it has a piece of some familiar structure, but some variety. So whatever part of you is keeping you awake, you can adjust and say, oh boy, here comes Scoots again. 1,000 times he's talked, he said, nope, now he's going to talk about ballpoint pens, fan fiction or whatever. So that's the intro. There's a couple percentage of people that skip the intro. There's a couple thousand people that pay to listen to story-only episodes, but there's more people that pay to listen to all intro episodes, I think, or maybe it's about the same. So just kind of see how it goes at first. You can set a sleep timer. You can listen all night. But the intro is a part of the show as a part of people's bedtime and wind down routines. Then there's support again between the intro and the story. So the show could be free and it's optional to pay for instead of being a part of a paid service or whatever. So that's the intro, then the support, then there'll be a story. Apparently tonight it'll be the ballpoint ball. I don't know. I'll think of whatever. I don't know. We'll come up with a story for about ballpoint pens or something, or maybe erasable ink. And Yeah, and then there's thank yous at the end. So this is the structure of the show. That's why I make the show. I'm glad you're here. I work really hard at your next drive. I really appreciate you coming by. And I really hope I can help you get to sleep. And here's a couple ways I'm able to do it for you for free twice a week. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com. to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. All right, everybody. It's Scoots here. It's tonight's episode. Apparently, according to the message I got from past Scoots, is called the Midnight Ball Ball. Or the not the Midnight Ball Ball, but the it's called the ballpoint pen ball, and I don't know. I guess like I was thinking, well, what would that episode be about? It's not obvious. And then I realized I haven't done a My Life with a Perm episode in a long time, and I did talk about erasable ink pens, which happened to coincide with my awareness of my hair as a liability as a child or a young adolescent or pre-adolescent. So, and that was when I was using erasable ink pens. So I'm wondering if there's a way we could build some bridges from the past to the present into another world where, I don't know, things go well. So if you're new, it's been years, I think, since we've done My Life with a Perm episode. So I will set this up. Once upon a time, I was a young lad, and like other young lads, I had, I was born with hair, hair follicles, like a lot of people. Now, my hair is very thin and very fine. And when I say thin, I guess, I don't know, because I only have my head of hair. And I don't think it's really appropriate, even with someone. I've never really looked at a lot of people's scalps before, and studied their hair. So honestly, I don't know what people mean when they say thin hair. Like, I wonder, for me, this is just speculation, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. When I say my hair is thin, I think it's a twofold thing. I think my actual hairs, if you were to measure them, their diameter is thinner than like other ones. Like, so you have different podcasts, like you have different pasta sizes, right? Like, I think you got your spaghetti. I don't know, is linguine flat or is linguine a circle too? But you have a spaghetti and angel hair would be in fettuccine. There's fettuccine linguine. Think fettuccine's flat. Linguine, I don't know. But so you have different types of pasta. There's different shapes. I mean, if you had linguine, like a flat hair follicle, you'd probably be famous. That'd be... I wonder if there is. Where was I? I'm presuming, and this is a presumption, that the diameter of my hair, much thinner than, I don't think many people have angel hair thickness hair. So you say, wow, angel must have a very strong core and, bone structure to hold up hair that is the diameter of angel hair pasta. Also, what the heck, who came up with that? I mean, I'm sure it was a marketing term, but it's like, no. First of all, the angels would be like, we don't need you eating our hair. It's just hair. It's for no one, even in heaven, we don't know that. It's to keep our heads warm, I guess, technically. And keep the sun off our heads, maybe. I don't know. We don't think about it. Angels, we're in such great shape. We take our hair for granted. We don't even think about our hair. So don't eat. You shouldn't be eating it, even symbolically. That is, you know, humans, you're so interesting. Really, you named a pot, you're eating a pasta named after our hair. Do you think about it when you're eating? Not really. You just think, oh, this is thinner than spaghetti. Great. That's all I think about. So what was I talking about? My hair. So my hair, I would assume, is thinner in that sense. And I think it's probably more spread out, which is probably when people say you have thin, because when you say you have thinning hair, I think that means the space between the follicles is less, less dense. Your density per square micrometer, whatever. So I think my hair follicles are probably more spread out than someone that has a more robust head of hair. And so I don't know, because you can even see it when your hair gets buzzed. When my hair gets buzzed, you can see a lot of scalp. But other people, I think, and I don't know if that's the density, both the distribution of follicles or the diameter of the hair the follicle produces. But for me, both of those are on the thin side, always have been. So that's one part of my hair that's important, is it's thin or fine. I guess, you say your hair's fine. So I guess that's another way of saying, when they say fine, though, that means your strands are of lower diameter. Now, the good thing about that is my hair is very soft. I don't mind saying it's soft. It's also, my hair is incredibly straight. Now, people will look at my hair today and say, it looks like it has some bends to it, but it's mostly either product that's moving my hair, you know, holding my hair, or natural greases, if my hair looks like it's falling in place. Now, I do wonder about my part, but let's stick with my hair, my actual physical properties of my hair. And if you say, give me a way to describe it, say, some people hear hair described like corn silk. And I would say, idealized corn silk, because when you get down to corn silk, you're like, what the heck, this stuff, just angel hair pasta. When you're actually dealing with corn silk, you're like, this is not something, you know what I mean. So my hair was always, it just fell. It also grows, I've been told, it grows in the wrong direction. And I think somebody tried to describe it to me. Most people's hair follicles are pointed maybe backwards. My hair follicles are maybe pointed a little bit more forwards. This could be speculation as well. Let's speculate, why not? So those are a couple pieces of information about my hair, and then I don't believe I have a natural part, because even now, I've been getting my hair cut or glamour whatever by since I grew it out as a part of the past couple years. The woman that does my hair, Beyond the Ponytail, if you want to check Angela, check her out on Twitter. She does part my hair in a certain way and then cut my hair. So I don't know, I guess because of my own experience, I say, is there really a natural part in people's hair or not? And I'd like to get on someone like an anthropologist or, to say, really? Our hair, maybe there isn't a, they said, you can see, but if you didn't cut your hair or your bangs and you had a natural part, it'd be easier to see stuff. And I say, okay, I could buy that for right now. So those are a couple things about my hair. That's a little bit of a hair background. So what that means is that, now, as a child, you get the hair you deserve. And I say, oh boy, thanks a lot. And that's what you get the angel hair you deserve, or not the angel hair. And I say, well, maybe that's true. Maybe it led me, I guess that's what these are all about. You get the hair you need to become who you're going to be or whatever. And that road has its bumps you know, yeah, so it's not always easy. So, but so, okay, so my hair, though, my haircuts before, as a child, we'll just run through them for your own entertainment. So I mostly had a bowl cut or like some sort of bangs. I wouldn't say a bowl cut because, the bowl cut is not, it's more of like a two bowl cut because, your bangs were one layer trimmed one way. And then the back, your hair was trimmed another, though there were times I had a bowl cut, but most of the time it was like a two layer, like a two way thing. And so, you know, most of your childhood, you don't really care, right? Like, your hair is just your hair. I mean, maybe some people do, or maybe it's part of your family value system, and that's fine. And if you have good hair, or you come from a hair family with high hair value, and you have good hair, or you're taught how to groom it, maybe that's like part becomes part of your, I mean, maybe in a positive way, it becomes part of your identity. For me, initially, it wasn't really part of my identity. I just didn't think about it very much. And I guess this goes back to the thinness is, again, when my hair is just lying flat against my scalp, there's not much of a protective layer there. Like, literally, it's like having just wearing a piece of paper where, you know, so you see some people have a lot thicker hair. Like the idea that my hair is providing warmth. I mean, I guess it is does provide some reflectivity. So that was my haircut for most of my childhood until, and even into up until at least sixth grade, I had no hair awareness. My hair awareness was zero. And I don't know the first time, I don't think that, like, I think in like fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, and this might be a little strong for some people, though, the things that kids point out, like they don't start pointing out your hair until till your adolescence, right? That they have other things like your clothes. There's other more, I had more obvious things other than my hair that it weren't necessarily going for me. But then, like, around fifth or sixth grade, like, I was behind the times, right? Because I was just aloof and, like, just, but some of my friends, you know, they started to get into pairings or, you know, imaginary pairings or, you know, we've talked about this before, you know, hand-holding and that kind of stuff. And then, but then you go into seventh and eighth grade and everybody's growing up at a different speed, right? And that causes some ruckus and it causes a realignment of values. And even in there, I'd have to look at pictures of myself. I don't think I really cared about my hair, even in, at least in seventh grade. Now, at that point, it did become a hurdle. And I'll have to try to figure out what I looked like back then. But my hair was still thin and fine. And, you know, I had other things not going for me, but that was like the high point of my life. I mean, I'll be honest with you, seventh grade, and this is going to sound like I'm being ironic or self-deprecating, but it's the truth. It was probably the best thing that ever happened to me, was that we had tracking in our school, right? And so the school I went to had 5 7th grades, 7-1, 7-2, 7-3, 7-4, and 7-5. And 7-1 was for the kids, however they decided it. And they didn't have, this wasn't to assist us because they didn't have, like, I think they had some basic assistance for people with learning differences. But this wasn't like how it is today, like where it's like, okay, these are the kids we're going to focus on some their learning differences and help them. This was more like, give us everyone, and they had one other group that was like also like challenging, but that's going to be challenging for the teacher, for classroom management. And they said, whatever is going to cause, you know, there's different ways you're going to disrupt the classroom. Let's gather all those kids in one place. And honestly, I mean, I don't think the higher you got in the sevens, their expectation for your success was much higher. I mean, that's just the truth. And that 7-5 was like the advanced kids. And 7-1 was the exact contrast to that. But that was like, if I look back and say, what was the happiest you were in your life, where there was like a balance of, like where you were being yourself and you weren't overthinking it. You had the freedom to be yourself and you hadn't had the, like, you know, and I mean, I think it was because I was pre-adolescent. I was behind the, you know, I was lower on the curve. So my evolution hadn't kicked in. So I was so happy because I was among people I could relate to, really, like people that had trouble with authority figures, and maybe they couldn't, they had their troubles manifested in different ways, and people that were at my level. And for the most part, the teachers really did well. It wasn't like, I have a lot of memories of so it was like, I don't know, like I was just so happy. I was socially, like, I felt like so comfortable. So it was like this amazing time in seventh grade and eighth grade. And I don't know, but at some point between eighth grade and 10th grade, my hair became what I would describe as a problem. Now that was because at seventh grade, I still had, what is that called? Like not innocence, but I still wasn't overly consumed with my attraction to like, or my image and how it related to me being attractive to girls I was attracted to and kind of obsessing about that. Right. And, but at some point between eighth grade, you know, between eighth and 10th grade, that like slowly dawned on me that one of the and again, I was actually incorrect, in some sense, but I assumed that one of the things I under my control that was affecting this was my hair. And a lot of my friends had good hair. That's one of the things I always talk about on this, my life with the perm thing, is that my friends had good hair. And so I took it under my, and we all got our haircut at the same place. And I would try different haircuts, parting it in the middle, greasing it. At one point, I guess it looked like Marty McFly because it was like close cut and then long and then whatever. And then some classmates tried to help me and they said, hey, just let your hair flow. And now that's where I'm at. I'm like, yeah, whatever, man. And that never worked out. And then I guess I grew really long bangs, like to my chin, and I would wear a hat or whatever. Like I just had that super long bang look, but very unstyled and but not in a way of like total confidence. Like I was hiding behind my bangs and it was like a way of saying, I don't care about my hair instead of loving it. And then at some point in adulthood, again, I still had the same problem. And it's supposed to be, I never had like a business job, but you know, I had jobs I had to go to. And at some point, like in maybe my 20s or 30s, I was like, oh, let me just buzz my hair. Then I don't have to think about it at all. And I guess that became like, it was like, okay, that's just how it's going to be now. It's like, but I'm going to be a buzz cut guy. And then what happened during 2020, like I said, oh, I'll just grow my hair out anyway. And then I had the idea, oh, maybe we could raise money for a nonprofit if I grow my hair out and get a perm. But people didn't, it's hard to get people that listen, they're falling asleep to a podcast to do stuff. So we couldn't really get anybody involved with that. And so that didn't work, but I kept growing my hair out. And then I realized, if it went through a very strange phase, but then I said, oh wait, I like kind of having hair. And then I found someone that's very capable, and she actually took the time to kind of get to know what she was working with and the best way to approach it. And so then it's like, okay, now at this point, I'm like, I'm fine with my hair. Like, and it's like people, and I'm saying, okay, sometimes it looks a little bit like 70s or whatever, but I'm like, whatever. So all that said, that's kind of sets up this idea of my life with a perm, which we'll jump to. So my hair was dissatisfactory, so I always wonder if there's, you know, and now, you know, again, these Hollywood purveyors of different universes. Now, we've had this particular year, or I guess over a year, not a calendar year, we've had a really good TV show about multiverses. We had a great independent movie, or I guess I'm saying it's independent, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, about different universes, and different movies with multiverses, whatever it is. So we've had a lot of this pervade to us in different ways, But for me, like, this was pretty, I said, is there a universe where I have good hair, and am I living? And I mean, obviously, I say, of course, but I say, okay, could I access that world, please? So don't judge that version of yourselves outside by your insides. That's what they always say. They don't show that in the Marvel movies or the individual, I don't know if anyone could have that conversation, it would be Michelle Yeoh. To say, okay, don't judge, because that's what she was going through, right? Part of it. So the reason I ask that is that, just like we're splitting hairs now, they say the great creators of multiverse fiction. That's who they is. But in this, they say, okay, when a decision is made, that's when the universe is split. I think that's explained multiple times in multiple different ways. And so in my life, that did happen, really. This isn't fiction. When Frank Z, who cut my friend's hair, and again, this was some of my friends that already hit puberty. I had not, some of them had a self-confidence or the attractiveness that I did not have. And I was always judging their, my insides by their outsides too. But they all one of my friends got their hair with this guy, Frank Z. Then we all started getting our hair cut there. And we'd only go to Frank Z. So the poor other, every once in a while I would be afraid and I would just go with another barber. And my friends said, afterwards they say, the reason your hair looks like that is because you didn't get it from Frank. You got to wait and be patient and say no. So it was an opportunity. That was an opportunity for me to learn a boundary. And be like, there's a reason that guy is four chairs down from Frank. And they'd say, whatever. So eventually I would wait for Frank. Now, Frank had, I believe at the time, a perm. And that just sticks out to me in my memory. And I don't know. I mean, I'm not on perms on dudes. They've gone in and out of fashion. And I don't know. I'd be hard pressed to say who wore it well. I'm sure there are people, and that'd be cool to point out to me. Who wore a perm well, and not just natural curly hair. I'm talking about fake natural curly hair. Because I could tell you, I have some cousins that had curly, naturally very curly hair, and they wore it well, Matt Miles and still. What was my point? Okay, so one time I was getting my hair cut from Frank. And after Frank started cutting my hair, one of his things was that I had so many cowlicks, and he loathed my cowlicks. And I guess a cowlick is that the cow's saliva is so non-viscous that if a cow was to lick your head, your hair would stand up. And as if a cow licked me at all my hair would stand up. First off, why is a cow licking me? Why is a cow so close? Why is a cow licking my head? My hair's going to stand up. Maybe even stands up because it tickles. I would presume it would tickle. Even if it was a surprise, my hair would stand up. If it was some sort of strange, unexpected thing, it would. Or if it was hey, come over, meet Birdie. She's going to lick you. She's the cow that licks people. She loves it. It's good for her too. So she keeps her salt up. So don't worry about it. She's going to, oh boy, there she go. Like my hair would still stand up because I say, oh boy, I would giggle like the Pillsbury Dough person. So, oh, okay. So Frank, he loathed my cowlicks. And then one day he proposed to me and I was there with all my friends. And I don't know how we decided the order. I was definitely not, I did not go first. I can tell you that. Unless it seemed like Frank was having a bad day or something. So, what happened? So one time Frank was cutting my hair, complaining about my cowlicks. He said, listen, the next time you come in, I want you to grow your hair out even longer. And then we'll give you a nice perm like mine. And we'll put a little curl in your hair. And I even looked at him like, and he goes, so trust me. Now he was trying to be, I think, in the end, I think he may have been misguided, but that's why I have to explore this universe stuff. But he said, hey, if I could cut your hair, if I could, if I perm your hair, it'll give a little bit of curl. We won't have these cowlicks. It'll be really nice. Trust me, like me. But his hair was different. His hair, he didn't have the same hair I had or the same face, you know. I mean, I would say I can't say he wore it well. He wore the perm the best he could, and it fit his character. But he was very encouraging. And I don't know if my friends heard it or if they said anything or I said anything to them, but I probably kept it to myself. But I can remember later being in the bathroom in the basement of our house, looking in the mirror and looking at my hair. And again, it was impacting my self-image. And again, in a different world, someone would have said, hey, don't worry, you know, but again, you got to go, this is like adolescence, you know, it's part of adolescence. If it's not your hair, it's going to be something else. It's part of your journey. Maybe because someone could have said that, I wouldn't have believed him at the time. Or maybe somebody did say, hey, yeah, you don't like your hair. You feel like it impacts your attractiveness and your self-confidence. And maybe it does. And that's tough. It's part of being an adolescent. Don't worry. After you've lived like many, many decades, you'll be comfortable with your hair. But it'll take a lot. So maybe you became comfortable with something else before you were comfortable with your hair. So I was looking in the mirror and I was thinking about what Frank said. And also I was afraid of this boundaries thing of just saying no. So I was like, hopefully he'll forget about it. But I said, maybe he's right. What would it be like? And some part of me, some wiser part of me in that universe, I thought, said, don't do it, man. Like, you are not Frank. Like, picture his hair on you in the mirror. And I pictured it and I said, okay, like I have a pretty high forehead. My hair is thin. I think, you know, some of my facial features are large, you know. And so I said, oh, you're right. Like his hair on you, you're not like just picture his hair on you. It doesn't work. Don't do it. But I do wonder if there's a world where I did it and it went well. Like, what would that be like, you know? Did it. So that's my life with a perm. And I think about ballpoint pens, right? And this idea, this was at the same time. So at some point they came up with these pens called erasable ink pens, or I think that's what they were called. And they kind of came out of nowhere, at least in my mind. And I was still in grammar or elementary school or primary school, depending where you, what do you call it? When these pens came out, and at some point, like the nuns in our school let us go from using pencils to pens, and we'd use pencils for math and pens for other stuff. And anybody that listens to this podcast knows, or maybe you don't know. Like, when I have learning, like I have dyslexia, I have not taken tests for other things, but maybe, who knows? I learn differently than a lot of other people, and that's okay. I also am left-handed, and then I also, some that also impact my ability to write with good penmanship. Physically, physically, not only am I left-handed, but physically, My penmanship is affected by something. And so I had all that going for me in an age of Catholicism where penmanship was, like, honestly, we talk about confusion or stuff. And I think it was more not just in Catholicism or Catholic school, but that somehow penmanship was considered, was equated with intelligence and, you know, conscientiousness and goodness in some sense. Even though it was, you'd say, well, that was like not, that should have stopped in the, like, 20 years before you're taught. And I say, yeah, I know, but there's holdouts. But also, like, because I wasn't a good student, I made a lot of errors, right? And I had a lot of challenges with school. So these invisible, erasable ink pens were presented as a panacea for people like me to be able, like, okay, you're supposed to be writing in pen. Yeah, now you can fix your mistakes even when you write in pen. And this was one of those ones that, and maybe it was just because of right-handers, but I can't imagine that right-handers, and again, I know Rusty Biscuit's going to look up some great articles about this, but I can't imagine that it was just left-handers that were impacted by what I could say was a scam. Like, this erasable ink was just ink that didn't dry, that you could erase it, and whatever. The eraser just absorbed the ink. And maybe that's what an eraser does with a pencil. I think so. But a pencil's like dust. So it picks up the dust and rolls it up in the eraser, whatever, and flakes off. First of all, whoever invented erasers, holy mackerel, you're brilliant. But so the idea of the pen was that it was just like a pencil, but it was pen, so it's permanent. And I don't think this thing ever dried, properly, that you could erase it at any point. But because, you know, for most left-handers, our palm, for whatever reason, or at least for me, when I'm writing, my entire side of the heel of my hand, or the palm, yeah, the side of my hand is on the table or on the paper. And then I write from left to right across a page. So my hand would be covered in ink. There'd be fingerprints or palm prints of ink everywhere, and the ink would be smudged. But it was like a trade-off. I mean, I think they flooded the market with these pens too, or maybe it was just a pen preference at my family, because you had to bring your own pens to school. I'll have to ask my dad about it, but because I'm pretty sure I can see him having a lot of, like, that's interesting. So maybe it was just me. Again, I'm making it about the world, but maybe it was just me. But so my stuff went from looking poor, I had poor penmanship and poor neatness, to, like, looking way, 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 way worse. But the option of erasing it, or maybe it was just the pens that I had access to. And again, this wasn't because of deprivation. Like, if I was supposed to ask for pens, there's the last thing in the world I would do. I'd just find pens. So that's a situation we find ourselves in with straight-haired Andy. But, like, if we go and we close our eyes and we look at the... world again, things get fuzzy. There I am writing at my desk, shoulders slumped, hand, the scent of wet ink, my paper smeared with ink, and frustrations. But then there's a twinkle in the air as we transverse planes into another world where my hair has a round curl, like a gold Lockean locks streaming off my skull. And maybe this is, in this world, it's just my first or second attempt with these pens. And old Sister Stern Chin comes by, and she says, you know, she says, you know, well, there's going to be another thing on your penmanship. And what's going on? I say, oh, sister, I was trying out these new pens. Have you heard about them? Erasable ink, erasable. Newfangled pens, she says. You wouldn't have to erase it if you did it right the first time. And I'd say, yeah, sister, well, you might, you're right about that, but I didn't even realize that's a pun, huh, sister? And she says, well, let's look at this. And I say, okay, you're right. She says, sister, could you smell the ink? Smells different than the other inks, you know, we're used to. And then sister goes on a soliloquy about feathers and ink jugs. And I'd say, well, I definitely wouldn't have made it back. That would have been a lot worse, huh, sister? If I got a fountain pen for Christmas once, I think I ruined a year's worth of clothes. Didn't even use it. I just wanted one. Like, I'm no calligraphist. I'll never be one. But don't you get some sort of powder or something to sprinkle on that? This one, you don't have any of that, and we don't need it. And I say, I'm sorry, sister. It's clear that this ink and this pen is making my schoolwork more messy than it needs to be, while having the option to erase the ink is appealing to most people and is very marketable. And also, sister, oh, by the way, I'm tempted to put this in, I put a lot of things in my mouth, especially erasers, and and test out their mouthfeel, and these erasers do have an interesting mouthfeel, so I don't know what that has to do with anything, sister, but that's also on my mind. And I'm more impressed with the eraser than the ink. But I found a couple things, sister, in my brief observations. The eraser does not really erase regular ink. And unlike a pencil, there is like a grittiness to this eraser that's different than a pencil eraser. Let me just show you here, sister. If I try to erase the erasable ink with a pencil eraser, it smears and it smudges even worse. And there's something in the pencil eraser that can't quite get the friction it needs to take care of the ink. So this has some sort of grit in it, especially because I'll be honest, sister, I've chewed up a couple of these erasers on these erasable ink pens. I know, sister. But it's clear to me that they have a grit in there, and the grit is something that helps erase the ink. No, sister, great question. I have not tried to erase any pencil with these erasers. But I have one more point, sister, that I'm going to learn in the future. But I'm, believe it or not, sister, I'm traveling. I'm a time traveler. And I've traveled to this time to put a stop to this erasable ink thing, or to make some changes. And I know you're aghast because you think I'm just trying to get out of this math assignment. But it's not a math assignment, sister. This is some sort of other assignment. The math assignment later, where I'll be using a pencil. I forgot my point, though, sister. Something about erasable ink, chewing in the erasers. Sister, I totally forgot what I was talking about. I was about to make a big point about something, a ballpoint. But now I forgot where I was going. But it was that this can't stand. Oh, what I was going to say is in the future, I will actually attempt test out my erasable ink eraser on my report card. And I know this wouldn't let you slip by, you sister, but one of the teachers that's not a nun ends up using erasable ink on the report cards. In a normal student, sister, they just look at their grades and they accept their grades and they don't look at the ink and analyze the ink because they're a regular kid. But to me at the time, I'd already, this is 2 years from today, sister. They're still using erasable ink in 2 years in the future. And I was able to analyze the fact, just with mere sight and smell, that was erasable ink. And I said to myself, that is... I don't know if this is what irony is, but it is delicious, the fact that my report card is made in erasable ink. It's so delicious, even though this is a decent grade. I believe it was a B, sister. I decided to erase my grade to see if it was truly erasable ink. And it came to my attention, lo and behold, sister, that it was erasable ink. And it came to another classmate's attention who brought it to the teacher's attention, which would, you know, not go well for me. But it was just an experiment. And, like, I want to put a stop to that future, too. I mean, maybe, it'll, you know, maybe it'll, I won't be able to make a sleep. You know, in the future, sister, I have in another world where I don't have a perm to comfort me and to give me this confidence to talk to you using words and being comfortable and saying, hey, I don't like this. In another world, I'm not like, you know, I don't have all these tools. And so... yeah, I could, like, luckily we're in our universe, sister, and not in that universe. We're just visiting this one. But I'm actually visiting, so maybe I'm being... Am I just, sister, do you know if I'm disrupting this universe by telling you? But wouldn't you like to work with me together to... Oh, sister, there's a knock. Oh, sister, it's a business person. Hello, you have a briefcase and a suit on. What are you, from Big Pen? You, yeah, okay. Sister, we have to go with them. Okay, they're taking us somewhere. Okay, we're getting in a van. This is Sister Sternface, I call her, and old Furrowbrow. You know, two of those furrows are mine. Out of the, I'm just kidding, sister. You don't really have more than 10 furrows. Two of which are mine. Thank you, everybody. So where are we headed? This is, we're seeing all of the pen, oh wow, so you really do have a big industry here, making, oh, so you want to tell me about, this is a tour of the pen production, it's a booming business, and oh, there was some lean years before this. Okay, so you're telling me that the invention of erasable ink, in quotey quotes, by the way, is necessary to the economy of this area, and that I should be thankful, and I shouldn't stir up trouble. Let me just touch this curl here. Do you see? Did my curl just make a springing sound? Yeah, it does. Let me tell you a little thing. About this erasable ink. Let's sit down. Is this your board? Oh, yeah, and your supervisor. Yeah, okay, great. Everybody have a seat here. I'm going to stand here on your conference table. And I'm here on behalf of myself, left-handers everywhere, and general consumers. Listen, we all know that this ink doesn't really, like, that they had maybe had good intentions. Maybe this was an accidental discovery. I have no idea. And I'd love to know, but not right now, because I'm trying to make a speech here, like, which came first, the eraser or the ink? And I would love to know the branding meetings to make it a gray eraser, because I really appreciate it. There's a lot of things about your pen I appreciate. Do I prefer chewing on here's one of the things I appreciate. I got to tell you, whoever decided to make the eraser easy to get out of the pen cap... it really saved my dentist a lot of tears, because those pencils, they got metal around them. So if you want to chew on a pencil eraser, you're really putting a lot at risk, where this one, I can just get it out and chew it like gum. Not that I should, or that this is total fiction. So if you're listening, and it gives me something to play with. You, believe it or not, I've used your eraser as a toy during class. Sorry, sister, but I have. And as an entertainment object, an object of speculation, a space capsule, many different things. So I appreciate, those are things I love about your pen. And one day in the future, I'll speculate and fantasize that the back of my head is a ballpoint from a ballpoint pen. But here's the thing. This can't go on. Like in our world, like, this is not going to end well. People are going to, I don't know what took the marketplace so long to reject your pens, and maybe it became a niche product. But think about the money you've invested in this, because I know you're about to do all those expansions you told me about on the tour. Let's agree not to do that. And what we'll do instead is I'll help you. Like, here's the thing. You probably have two companies, right? This Erasable Ink company and brand. And then maybe you have another brand. If not, there's a free idea to separate the two products, right? Then what you're going to do is you're going to say, have a ball with a ballpoint. And you'll put on, you'll start sponsoring balls and ball gown, like not ball gowns, but yeah, let's do a ball gown scholarship. Every city, you give away a couple ball gowns. You'll sponsor senior balls at high schools, maybe some other kind of social balls. And you'll say, have a ball with a ballpoint. And your commercials will show the joy of using a ballpoint pen. The ballpoint pen ball. Maybe you even have that once you're here where we are, which feels somewhere like Scranton or Syracuse, maybe Binghamton, I don't know, but have a ball with ballpoint here. Come on down, have a ball with the ballpoint. Maybe even make it, maybe it's every day. Instead of your tour, make it a ball. There you even say, and maybe you get some celebrities, left-handed celebrities. Not Ned. One day there'll be a left-handed celebrity named Ned Flanders, but not yet. But coming very soon, actually. And that's how you'll fix things. You'll actually use your ballpoint pens with real permanent ink that works. Against these, and you won't stop production. This will be a niche product, and you could charge more for it instead of going and trying to replace the pens that we're already using. We'll do that, okay? And that's how. And you could see if you feel uncomfortable, all of you can touch my curls. I'll crawl around on this table. It's very strange. Yes, I know, but this is how I'm going to save your business and save myself from 2 to 5 more years of having to use an ink that doesn't actually dry, but not eliminate it at all. So why don't you all lie down and then just rest. Put your heads down on your desk, on this desk conference table. Go ahead and smell the conference table. Feel your breath against it, nice and warm. And feel it coming in, getting comfortable. Closing your eyes, that desk smell. And get some rest and go to sleep. Good night. All right, I want to thank everybody who became a patron recently. I want to thank Potato, Lucky, and Crystal. Thanks, 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 and good night. Elizabeth, Nia, and Tanya. Thanks, 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 and good night. Kim, Patrick, and Marie. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Tania, Corinne, and Sherry. Thanks, 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 and good night. Melissa, Ryan, and Brian. Thanks, 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 and good night. Noel, Orange, and Victoria. Thank you, thanks, 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 and good night. Lindsay, Laura M, and Laura R, back to back. Thanks, 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 and good night. Seth, Kelsey, and Shane. Thank you, thanks, 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 and good night. Christopher, Nina, and Adam. Thank you, thanks, 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 and good night. Lorraine, Emily, and Michael. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. And Suzanne, Edward, and Katie. Thank you, thanks, 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 and good night. Sleep with Me is here for free because the people that support the show on Patreon or support it directly or support our sponsors. So that's why I thank those people at the end of every episode, because it gives us the freedom to be here for free twice a week. We grow as a show by people spreading the word. So I also appreciate that. And we've grown our free archives up to 500 episodes because of these tuck you in sponsors you hear at the end of the show. So thanks so much and good night. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about the mattress I sleep in nightly. And tonight's sponsor, Helix. Helix Sleep. Take that quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. And oh, how do I love my Helix. And not only do I love my Helix, my family members love their Helix. I just stayed at a family member's house, and I saw my nephew Daniel had a Helix. I believe his parents have a Helix Sleep too. So it's just so refreshing to know that I'm not the only one enjoying sleeping on mine. But each one of us is different, right? And that's why Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection. There's mattresses for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you know which mattress is going to be best for you, the way you sleep, and your body is to take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows you want to get to know your mattress, right? And you get to sleep on it in your own home. They offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. And since everybody's unique and everyone sleeps differently, Helix has different mattress models to choose from, designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam for pressure relief if you sleep on your side, responsive foam to cradle your body if you're a stomach or back sleeper. And way back when I took that Helix sleep quiz, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Lux. You know, I sleep on my stomach. I sleep on my side. I like to be cool. I love this mattress. Anytime I travel, I'm counting the days to get home and get in my Helix bed. And Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. Thanks, everybody.